Hello and welcome. You are tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Public Radio. I'm Brian Kennedy, and we begin the program with a roundup of the latest news. A proposal put forth by Prime Minister Stanislav Gross on how to choose his replacement was agreed on Saturday by the top leadership of the Social Democratic Party, of which Mr. Gross is chairman. His proposal, first announced on Thursday, is to form a pro-European government of the three-party coalition, including the center-right Christian Democrats and the Freedom Union parties, with the new prime minister to again be a member of the left-leaning Social Democrats. The leaders of the other two parties have agreed in principle to the proposal and to Mr. Gross's condition that he have final say over the appointment of new cabinet ministers, but have bristled at his suggestion that those ministers who have recently undermined the government, in his words, taken to mean the five ministers who have resigned from the cabinet in recent days, not be allowed to return. However, all three parties have reportedly agreed in private that their leadership will not seek key cabinet posts. Meanwhile, Mr. Gross confirmed on Saturday that the chief candidate to fill his shoes is the current Czech ambassador to the European Union, Jan Kohout. The two men had held private talks on Friday about the possibility of Mr. Kohout returning from Brussels to head up the new pro-European government, a prime task of which would be to push through the ratification of the European Constitution. According to a new poll by the STEM agency, however, the majority of voters are not in favor of the three-party coalition continuing in government. 61% of those polled said they would prefer for early elections to be held instead. When asked who should be the next prime minister, given that the coalition parties have agreed it will be a Social Democratic Party member, 28% named the current Minister of Finance, Bohuslav Sobotka, as their choice. 18% said Zdeněk Skromák, who is the Minister of Labour and Social Affairs, while only 17% said they thought Stanislav Gross should remain in his post. Another opinion poll just released by the CVVM agency suggests that Mr. Gross's Social Democrats, with 14.5% support, would come in third in general elections if they were held today. The center-right Civic Democrats have 31% support, followed by the Communist Party with 15.5%. In other news, on the occasion of the International Day of the Roma, Czech Roma leaders on Friday issued a renewed call for the removal of a pig farm at the site of a World War II labor camp where thousands of Roma, also known as gypsies, were interred and several hundred died. Activists said that the new petition would demand the Czech authorities separate off a memorial to those who died at the Leti camp from the pig farm, which was built under communism in the 1970s. Only 1 in 20 Czech Roma survived the war. The petitioners say the presence of the pig farm at Leti is an insult to their memory. And finally, the weather. Light rain remains in the forecast for the coming days, with daytime highs in the low teens. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's all the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in the program, a poo protest, April Fool's weddings, and a ball of lightning goes on a rampage through Kašperské hory. That and more in today's magazine, which will be followed by another Czech lesson with Pavla Horáková. And we'll wind up the show with this week's one-on-one, introducing Alexander Tomsky, journalist, teacher, publisher, and politician. So please stay with us. We'll begin on a lighter note now with some wacky stories from the Czech Republic that failed to make our news bulletins. Tourists to the Czech capital cannot for long remain ignorant of the political crisis in the Czech Republic and the flagging popularity of the Prime Minister Stanislav Gross. In addition to personalised billboards in which Prague citizens say they're ashamed of their Prime Minister, there is now a new form of public protest inspired by Bush haters in the United States. The poo protest against Prime Minister Gross has appeared in five Prague districts, in which disgruntled Prague citizens Germans are sticking little gross flags on sticks in dog poo on the pavements. A pub in Prague's Vinohrady district has its own form of protest, having put a large notice on the door saying, "Prime Minister Gross will not be served here." An April Fool's Day practical joke went badly wrong last week when three youths aged around 20 decided to stage a kidnapping on a busy street corner. One of the gang borrowed his father's black limousine and the victim was captured, shoved inside the car, bound and gagged, gesticulating wildly for help as the car went down the street. Although passers-by failed to prevent the kidnapping, they all alarmed the police and gave detailed descriptions of the kidnappers, some even recalling parts of the limousine's license plate. The case was reported nationwide and a special unit went into operation before the truth emerged. The police were not amused and the youths had a lot of explaining to do at the police station. The West Bohemian town of Plzeň celebrated April Fool's Day with fun and games on the town's main square, an annual event called Den Naruby, or Iburanet, the Czech inside out, spelled back to front, meaning in every way abnormal or crazy. Couples in love had mock April Fool's Day weddings with borrowed costumes, flowers and a photographer on the main square. The wedding day photos looked real, but the marriage was not. People could join a race in running up the 301 steps of the local church tower, a scooter race around the town square, or join a tourist outing held under the title "Who Says You Can't Get Lost in Pilsen?" Kids were given loads of free chalk and turned the asphalt on the main square into a colourful maze, something to remember the day by, but only until the next rain shower. How many fish can you catch at your favourite place in 6 hours? The winner of this year's competition in the Senetsky Lake near Pilsen caught 28 fish, which placed in a single line measured 13 metres and 6 centimetres, getting a metre ahead of his rivals. 55 fishermen took part and the time limit was, as I said, 6 hours. Why didn't they just measure the length of the biggest fish, you may ask? Well, the answer is tradition. As many fish as you can, as long as you can get them. What's special about this fishing race is that the Senetsky Lake is a breeding lake where fishing is banned all year round, except on this one special occasion. It is chock full of huge catfish, amours, pikes and other breeds, but the only fish that fishermen brought out were an endless series of carp. This breed is allegedly the first to become active in the spring and go in search of food. Saffron is a well-known Czech saying, but it's not always true. The town of Lučnov boasts a large meadow dotted with saffron blooms, as plentiful as if it were a common daisy. People passing through the town stop to admire the sight, and many have made attempts to dig up the plant and transplant it into their own gardens, always to no avail. The saffron carpet can only be seen in that particular town. The locals have their own explanation how it got there from its natural environment in the Alps. They claim that in the last century, Napoleon's troops carried straw as feed for their horses, and the saffron seeds were in the straw. Kašperské Hory in the southern part of the Czech Republic is a quiet and picturesque town. Last week was an exception. The town was hit by a ball of lightning that went on a rampage around the town. It first hit the church, leaving a hole the size of a cannonball in one of the walls. Then it ravaged a few shops on the town square, broke a few windows, and ended the rampage by a direct hit on the local power distributor, bringing down phone lines and damaging computers, microwaves, and TV sets in the vicinity. The names Anita and Adam have appeared with increasing frequency on Czech birth certificates of late, and there's a very simple explanation for this surprising phenomenon. Anita is the name of the Czech Republic's first pop idol, crowned last year and already picking up music awards, touring the country and selling her first CD. Adam has suddenly rocketed in popularity due to a highly successful Czech soap opera TV series. Titled Family Bonds, it is broadcast twice a week on one of the country's private TV stations. And you guessed it, the central figures are Adam and Eve. Cheesy, but Czechs love it. It is the first Czech soap opera that will cross the magic margin of 100 episodes. And finally, Prague will export some of its taxi drivers to Scotland. The local media report that the Scottish taxi service, Station Taxis, is short of taxi drivers and has been combing Europe for reinforcements. The firm allegedly found what it was looking for here in Prague. This has been confirmed by the internet Daily Scotsman, according to which the firm has set up a special school for taxi drivers in Prague, where successful candidates will undergo a month-long training course before leaving for Scotland. According to the head manager of Station Taxis, Andy Watson, the arrangement will benefit both sides. The firm will get an influx of new drivers, and the Czech drivers will make more money than they would here in Prague. In Scotland, they're expected to make around £300 a week, while in Prague, they allegedly make some 3,500 crowns, or around £80. The question is, do they really? And is not the Scottish firm in for a big surprise? Mr. Watson dismisses rumours that Prague taxi drivers have a very bad reputation. People say all kinds of things about every nation in the world. We're not exempted, he says. Well, from Prague, with love, Mr. Watson. Listening to Radio Prague, and it's time now for another Czech lesson with Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech, Radio Prague's special Czech language program, this season dedicated to Czech food and cuisine. I'm joined today by
Martin Mikule.
Having explained some of the vocabulary concerning fruit dishes last week, it is time today to look at vegetable meals. Czechs like pickles. The most favorite preserved vegetables are gherkins.
Kyselé okurky.
Literally sour cucumbers, traditionally produced in South Moravia. They are sometimes called
nakládané okurky.
Pickled cucumbers, or simply
nakládačky.
Those come in a jar, but at the start of the preserving season, you can buy gherkins at open-air markets, straight from the barrel. Those are prepared to a different recipe, a quicker one, hence the name
rychlokvašky,
fast-brewed gherkins. A typical vegetable that is not as popular anywhere else is the cauliflower.
Květák.
It is too hard and bland to eat raw, but there are a number of simple recipes. Apart from the pickled variety, you can eat cauliflower fried, Wiener Schnitzel style.
Smažený květák.
Or finely chopped with eggs, fried on butter.
Květák jako mozeček.
Cauliflower brain style. It doesn't sound too appetizing, I know. Another typical summer vegetable dish is
lečo,
which is a Hungarian word. It is a mix of stewed peppers, tomatoes, pieces of smoked sausage and eggs. Believe it or not, it tastes quite nice, although it's quite heavy. Of course, Czechs also love sauerkraut.
Kyselé zelí.
Or
kysané zelí.
Literally, sour cabbage. It goes wonderfully with roast pork and dumplings.
Vepřo knedlo zelo.
That's considered as the most typical Czech dish and can go with either sauerkraut or cabbage. To make things more difficult for themselves, Czechs also like to make
kedlubnové zelí.
That is grated kohlrabi cooked with all the ingredients as if it was cabbage. Again, it goes with pork and dumplings. A tasty seasoning for boiled beef is
strouhaný křen.
Grated horseradish, sometimes mixed with apples. Some say the powerful taste of horseradish can only be washed down by beer. Vegetable dishes may be healthy, but they are not at all popular with children, a fact well known to parents worldwide. But one meal which is accepted and even favored by most Czech kids is
rajská omáčka,
tomato sauce. The dish consists of boiled beef and bread dumplings swimming in sweet sauce made of tomato puree. It may not sound appetizing, but believe me, children love it. Maybe because it's so sweet and so red. And that's all we have time for today. So till next time.
Dobrou chuť.
Bon appétit.
You can tune in for a fresh edition of ABC with Pavla same time next week. And of course you will find the whole series on Radio Prague's webpage. That's at www.radio.cz. And it's now time for our guest of the week in One-on-One with Ian Willoughby.
In this week's One-on-One, we meet the multi-talented Alexander Tomsky, who's been a journalist, a teacher, a publisher and a right-of-centre politician. Mr. Tomsky, who grew up speaking Czech, Polish and German, went to London following the Soviet invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968. While he was there, he had some contact with Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher, an experience he recalled when we spoke recently.
She was a very, not only learned lady, but she was very keen to understand the world. Obviously, for a top politician, this is important. But her interest went so far that she visited Keston College on several occasions. And in one conversation with her, I mentioned the Samizdat, underground, anti-communist or non-communist writers who are banned, who couldn't publish officially, and said that some of them are among the greatest in Europe today, such as Solzhenitsyn or Maximov or even the Czech writers like Václav Havel, for instance. And she became interested. She said, whether there's anything in English. I said, well, yes, they are published quite a bit, but obviously the circulation is tiny, you know, barring Solzhenitsyn, of course, who became world famous. But most of these names were not known to her. So she said, why don't you give me a book a month, you know, like a club, you know, book a month, and I will read it. And she read it, you know. So for 3 years, I supplied her a book a month, and I believe she read it.
Was she as fearsome in real life as she seemed in public?
She was, in a way, you know. She came across as very cold, very rational. But her speeches were so well prepared that even at Keston College, an institute that specialized in relations, you know, in the communist country, she could give a 20-minute speech, which was really on, you know, which was right. I really thought, admired her intellectual abilities enormously.
In 1989, when you saw the wall come down and then the revolution here, the Velvet Revolution, did you have to think long about moving back to Prague?
No, 5 minutes. It was obvious. The first demonstration was good enough for me. That, I think, happened on the 17th of November. On the 1st of December, I was here to stay. And I've been here ever since.
You got involved in politics in those days?
Not really. I soon realized that emigres were not welcome. I mean, they were welcome at first. For the first 3 years, we were very popular here. I would give interview to newspapers almost every week. But after a while, it became clear that there was a certain indigenous resentment of people who had left, made their careers in the West, had relatively good life, materially speaking, you know, our traumas and emigre dreams. Nobody knew about that here, of course, or the fact that we lived in a strange and perhaps alien environment, which is always psychologically difficult. People didn't know that. They thought, and now they thought, well, they had a good life, they came back with money, and now they are going to advise us what to do, you see? This feeling of sovereignty, this feeling of independence that people had, we really don't need these kind of people. So after 2 or 3 years, I realized that, and I became one of the top Czech publishers because I was offered a job with the Academy of Sciences, which is a very strong institution. And for 12 years, I was their general director and was able to publish a lot of books again.
But about politics, you were a member of the Civic Democrats, and I understand your politics were quite close to those of Václav Klaus, the founder of the party.
I joined immediately because I liked the rhetoric of Václav Klaus. It reminded me of my professors at LSE. I was introduced to that kind of philosophy, and then I heard Václav Klaus speaking exactly in those terms, that there is no third way between socialism and capitalism, that we must denationalize everything, that the state's role, although essential, is purely in macroeconomics. The state bureaucrats cannot run industries. So I joined the party just to give them my nominal token support. But then in 1996 and 7, suddenly the local party elected me to a higher position. They elected me higher still, and I ended up in the, you know, in the top echelons of the party with Klaus there. And then when I entered, the party was already in crisis. Was being 1997, it began to split. And I came when they were splitting, so I went with them. And then when the new party started, they didn't want me. So I left politics very quickly.
How did you find Mr. Klaus, now President Klaus, at the personal level? What kind of a man is he, or how did you get on with him?
I think he's still the same man, you know. He's very egocentric, you know, very much likes to style himself as a national leader. This was behind, I think, his compromise between the state-run industry and the privately owned industry, because people were, after 42 years of communist socialism, they didn't trust capitalist enterprise. Obviously, for obvious reasons. Although he preached the liberal economic theories and regarded himself as a Thatcherite, in fact, he didn't do it. And for someone who doesn't believe in state-run enterprise at all, and who are someone who shares his liberal economics, this was a big surprise after 7 years that we were all duped, you know, we were fooled by this man who didn't do what he preached, basically, you know.
Some listeners may be surprised to know that in the Czech Republic there's a small monarchist movement, and you are a monarchist. Could you tell us about your belief in the monarchy?
Well, you see, it's a bit of a joke. Czechs have a kind of predilection for bizarre things, you know. They have a theater where they celebrate a non-existing person called Jarada Zimmermann for 45 years, I believe, you know, and write incessant new plays on the genius of this non-existent man, you know. It's the Czech sense of humor is remarkable, and I think the monarchist movement, although many take it very seriously, is part of that a bizarre political landscape. I believe there are 40 such little parties, you know, believing in all sorts of things. We don't have a flat earth party yet, but we might one day. So I obviously would like to see a constitutional monarchy of the type that Scandinavian countries have, and England, of course, being established, but it's not politically possible. The party is regarded as a joke. In a way, it is, even though I'm perhaps more serious. I think, you see, the trouble with the Czechs is that they have no religion. I'm a believer, even though my belief may be a mixture of Judaism and Catholicism, you know. Nevertheless, I think that monarchy is a very good substitute for religion in many ways.
Who would your party or your group like to see as the king of the Czech lands?
That's totally irrelevant. You know, first you have to have a strong party, and then you can look around for a king. I think there are lots of people of very old, noble families all over Central Europe. They did not necessarily Czechs. Schwarzenbergs and Lobkowitz, and you know, there are so many. That wouldn't be a problem. The problem is that the party has a few hundred members and has absolutely no political clout.
Alexander Tomsky, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that edition of One on One with Alexander Tomsky brings us to the end of today's program. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us and have a great weekend.